think I'm on. Am I? Okay, we're on now. Thank you. My wife Elsie and I are pleased to be with you this morning. We came only from Vanderhoof, not very far. We're glad to be able to serve the Word of God to you this morning. We were married in this church, some of you remember that, in 2014. Or 12 on January 14th, that's when it was. I was raised in the Vanderhoof area under a very deep religion of works, and Jesus saved me back in 1958, and my wife and I went out to the mission field to Northern Canada among the First Nations people. And I've known Stoney, I think, for almost 50 years. And we had a wonderful time working with First Nations people, mostly in Bible Institute work at Keewatin Bible Institute, La Ronge Bible School, and then pastoring in Vanderhoof in the church where I was saved. And that's where we still are. This morning in our scripture reading, you will have noticed a very, very familiar scripture. Some of you will have known that whole scripture by memory, I'm sure. We want to focus on truth this morning, and I hope that by the time we are completed with this message, that a greater appreciation for truth will come into your life. The title is, Let God Be True. The rest of that verse I didn't give you, but it's not quite as nice. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So there's a great separation between who we are in the natural and who God is. He is always true. He's never been anything else but true. And we, in our unsaved condition, have never been anything else but liars. That's difficult to swallow, perhaps, but it is true. Jesus is the one who is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We use that scripture more often by helping people come to Jesus, because he said, no man comes to the Father except by me. Devotional writer Henry Bosch, who often wrote in the Daily Bread, said that one day his father was picking up a newspaper at coffee break and arriving home at work, he discovered that he'd taken two papers by mistake. After a moment's thought, he decided to return to the store immediately with the extra paper. I don't want the owner, who isn't a Christian, to think I'm dishonest, he said. About a week later, some expensive items were missing from the store. The police calculated that the time that he was there was the exact time when Mr. Bosch picked up the papers. And one other man, the owner said, I know John is honest. Just last week he came all the way back here to return a paper he'd taken by mistake. The police questioned the other man instead, and of course, he was the guilty one. Mr. Bosch said, Father's honesty and Christian character not only made a deep impression on the storekeeper, but his actions also left an indelible mark upon my young and pliable mind. In all parts of our society, we don't have to look in the paper very long, mostly the headlines, usually, when we realize that dishonesty, lack of truth, cover-up, bribery and corruption, and almost all kinds of dishonesty are being exposed and talked about. It's refreshing to be able to read in the newspaper something that's positive, that's truthful. And you get these kinds of articles where someone returns something that they took by mistake, and it almost makes the headlines because it's so unusual. I want, by the grace of God, that we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Way back before the flood, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But somebody made the headlines. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wonderful. And we have Noah's story written to us very clearly, how God saved him and his family. And Noah, immediately when he got out of the ark after the flood, he built an altar. In fact, he had more animals of the kind that he had to offer in the ark than of any other kind, because he knew that was important. As we think of what Jesus said here, sometimes it's good for us to take a word, just an ordinary word, truth. What is truth? Vine's Bible Dictionary says that truth is genuine. It's a state of being true, conforming to rule, to exactness, to correctness, to veracity. Jesus as truth is the only and final standard to which all others must bow in surrender, admitting that we are lost sinners without truth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that verse. Let God be true. Truth is the property that belongs to God alone. Would you agree with that? God alone is truth. And so that means that we must go to God to experience truth. There are many measurements and standards in the world, and apparently there are places like that, very protected places, where standards are kept as to how long is a meter, how long is a centimeter, how heavy is a pound or a kilogram. And if there's a dispute, if there's an inaccuracy, you can go there and you can find out what is exactly a meter, a kilogram, and so on. If we want to know what truth is, we go to God. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except by me." Truth needs to be believed, confessed, acknowledged, and admitted. We must let God be true. Without this admission of faith, we remain without help, without power. We remain defeated. There's a verse from John chapter 8. We'll read that later, but where it says that the devil is a liar, and that from the very beginning, he is not speaking the truth. The devil's voice always lies. There is that great, great gap in between Jesus Christ and the evil one. We cannot reach out and receive God's truth except by faith. I want us to notice in that scripture, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." And what else did he say? You believe in God. You trust in God. trust also in me. It's a wonderful thing to trust God. When we first invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart and life, we trusted Him. We trusted Him with our soul, and we trust Him today that the time will come when we will go to be with Him. I think I've got a cup of water here somewhere. Again, I quote from Vine's dictionary, where he says, Jesus is the perfect expression of the truth, not only in words, but in sincerity and integrity of character. Jesus is truth in all its fullness and scope as embodied in Him. There are many scriptures that would go along with that. In the Word of God in Ephesians 4:15, it says that we should be speaking the truth in love. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. I'm sure by now you say, well, yes, you've said it over and over again, and we need to. The truth is in Jesus alone. No one else. That means that you and I, in our witness as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to point people to Him because there is no other truth. There is no other way. There is no other life. No one comes to the Father but through Him or through Jesus Christ. I don't like to take it for granted that everyone is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in the groups that I speak to. If you are here today and you're not sure, and you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your trust in Him. He is trustworthy forever and ever. God has never been anything else but true. Let Him be true in your mind and in your heart. God is the only one, and His name is Jesus. You cannot find anyone else who is truth in all its fullness as it is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and I won't quote the scriptures or the references necessarily, but He said, I am the true light. You want light that's true? It's in Jesus. He said, I am the true bread. He said again, I am the true vine. I am the true witness. And He says that He is the true judge. In 1 John 5:20, there's a verse, and I want to read it to you. Three times, notice what it says. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him. We may know Him that is true. And we are in Him who is true. That's the second time. In His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He is true. Jesus will not disappoint you. Jesus will not disappoint us ever. If we think that God has disappointed us, we are the ones who misunderstood Him, who didn't grasp the truth somehow. Jesus is true. It's a wonderful thing. I expect that all of you are interested in truth. I don't know anyone who isn't interested in truth. Even those who may not live it, their deepest heart satisfaction and desire really is to be able to trust. There are many who do not live trustworthy lives, but they would appreciate it if somebody would trust them. It's always an attempt of ours is somehow to either persuade or live in such a way so that people would trust us. But in the natural, we break that trust. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said to them, "Your witness is not true." He said, "My judgment is true. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." There is bondage in living a dishonest life. There is bondage in speaking dishonest words, dishonest actions. Truth alone is found in Jesus, and he makes us free. He says, "Now you seek to kill me," he told the Pharisees. "A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God." And then he says this. These are the words of Jesus. Listen. He said to these people who were not telling the truth, he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." He says, "Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." It is a wonderful, restful thing to be able to rest in the Lord Jesus, because he's the truth. I know that many of you know the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God. I've studied the Bible for a long time, but it really hit me about a week ago that the first item of armor is, guess what? Gird your loins about with truth. That's the first piece of equipment. And I dare say that's not by mistake that was put there. Stand therefore. Stand against the powers of darkness, against the evil one, against the devil, against the liar, and gird your waist with truth. That's the first thing. It's no wonder that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Romans chapter 3 has a lot of negative things to say before it becomes positive. He said, "There is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They've together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." He says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is by Him that we come to the Father. Have you come to the Father? Are you saved? Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, your Lord, your life? That His truth has brought you into a relationship with God. In Romans chapter 1, where we have that dark chapter, it says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." I think that's speaking of our modern day. Oh, how truth is suppressed and put down. There's a lot of things that people can say about their religions, but when we begin to talk about Christianity in all its truth and life, then it's suppressed. Just a few things. We could say many other things. The opening illustration that I used already indicated that truth is honest. It's honesty. And it's not just part honesty. It's total honesty. Truth is honest. Jesus answered Pilate, and he said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I came into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." On another topic, the virgin birth is a wonderful topic to study. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, and later as he comes into ministry, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the Holy Spirit could not seem to open the eyes of the Pharisees. They said, "Well, you're just an ordinary man. You're born out of wedlock. You're a sinner." They did not understand that Jesus was holy, that he was God manifest in the flesh, that he was truth in every part of his being. Truth is honest. But truth is also pure. I know I'm saying the same thing and describing the same with another word. But truth is pure. Is my life pure? Is yours pure? Does that mark our walk, our relationship, our job, our business? Listen to Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Truth is pure. Truth is faithful. Our hearts break often when we read of the unfaithfulness that there is in much of the world's politics, in relationships, in marriages, in contracts that have been signed and sealed and promised and so on, and find out that there's unfaithfulness. Jesus could say, and he said this in John chapter 17, he said to the Father, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Truth is faithful. Are you faithful? Do others see in you faithfulness? Do you keep your promises, your contracts? I see a lot of gray hairs here, and like me, you're probably pensioners. But I see a lot of young people. You're still in the workforce in one way or another. Do you keep your hours? Are you faithful at your job? Can you stand as a model to the glory of God that you're a dependable employee? Let God be true. Let Him show Himself through us. And I can say that rather easily. But when I say, let Him show Himself through me, through you as an individual, because we tend to want to, well, yes, I am, but I'm not sure about Him. Kind of like the two men who were discussing this. He said, all fishermen are liars, except you and me. And sometimes I wonder about ye. Are we faithful? Are we pure? Are we honest? Truth is righteous. When we think about righteousness, I expect that Pastor Lyle from years past has talked about this sometime. Righteousness is a condition. It's a condition. The standard of which is God. Who would be the proper measurement where you could say, I'll hold up my righteousness against Him? It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who is truth. How righteous do I have to be able to come into the presence of God as righteous as Jesus? Wonderful that He gives us His righteousness. We don't have to go into the temple and offer a sacrifice of an animal anymore. You remember how the curtain was torn in the temple. The way was open to all, to you and me, and to everyone who wants to come to Jesus. We don't have to offer, because the offering has been given. Jesus Christ has laid down His life for your sins and for mine. His righteousness enables us to come into God's presence. Jesus said to His followers, He said, I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us as a believer in Jesus Christ to live a life of truth. When He gives us power, when He gives us strength, when He enables us, when He fills us, He helps us to live a life of truth because He's the Spirit of truth. Truth is righteous. Another way of saying simply, truth is right. Jesus is always right. If there's ever any doubt between me and Him, there's no doubt that He's the one who's right. Jesus is always right. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, He guides us into all truth. We can trust the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, that He will guide us and lead us in a path that's true and that's faithful. It will never be otherwise. Another verse, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. There it is. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, Jesus says, for He will take of Mine and declare it to you. This morning I ask ourselves the question again. Are we genuinely interested in truth? It's another way of saying, are we interested in Jesus Christ, in following Him, in letting His life be seen in my life, in my actions, my words, and what I do? Jesus' prayer for us all is very clear. He says in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know You. He said that to the Father. Listen. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God. There is no other God to which anyone comes in our world today that is true, except Jesus Christ. He said, no one comes to the Father except by Me. That causes sadness to come into our life because there are so many who have not come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Wanting to come through this idol, through that God, through this Spirit, and so on. There's no other way to the Father except through Him. And what a terrible surprise it will be for those who die without Jesus when they come before God. Jesus prayed again in that prayer in John 17, sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. Acquaint yourself with the word of God. True believers in Jesus Christ must be men and women of truth. As we go out these doors, somewhere today or tomorrow or the days following, we will rub shoulders with people who do not know Him. Oh, I pray that we will know for sure where we are in Jesus Christ, so that people will see Him in our lives. Your family, your home, your business, your job must be marked clearly with truth. Remember, the first thing that is pointed out to us in the armor is our loins girded with truth. That, of course, was, that language was taken from a soldier's viewpoint. I think as Paul looked at the guard that was standing next to him as he wrote that book in prison, was he saw that that man had a belt around his loins, and he called it similar to truth. The truth will bring anyone to Jesus. It'll bring anyone to the Father. Robert Brandt is a doctor in Pennsylvania who took his sons camping one night, and by the campfire he told them a story. And he said about 100 years ago there was a man who worked in a stone quarry who was injured by a sliding rock coming down. His foot was crushed. He was dirt poor, and he feared losing his job, for he had children in diapers and was expecting a baby. Because he couldn't afford a horse, he had to walk everywhere. And his injured foot was a constant problem to him. A few days later, he limped his way to a grocery store to buy some food for his family, and he hobbled home. When he pulled his receipt from his pocket, he discovered he had been given too much change. What should he do? As his worried wife watched from the kitchen doorway, he turned around and he began to sorely limp back to the store to return the change. Dr. Brandt had that story told to his children, and he said, "What do you think, guys? Did you think he did the right thing? Was that necessary to go back to the store?" And the boys quickly offered several alternatives, and after a big discussion, they went into their sleeping bags to go to sleep, and only then did Dr. Brandt tell them the rest of the story. He said the young father who worked in that stone quarry never became rich, but he lived a long and happy life. Before he died, he passed his values on to his children and his grandchildren. And even his great-grandchildren still hear about his honesty. So one of the boys that wasn't sleeping, I said, "Where did that stone man story come from anyway, Dad?" "Well," he said, "when I was just a boy about your age, I heard it from a kind old man who was sitting in a rocking chair with a cane between his knees. And I sat spellbound as he told me while he rocked in that chair. Slowly spinning his cane, he told me that story about himself. He was my grandfather and your great-grandfather." We leave a legacy. Oh, that we would leave the legacy of truth, of purity, of honesty, of faithfulness, of truth in all things that we do, so people can remember that they saw Jesus in us because they saw truth.